comments?
That's the first one to come anytime.
Seeing none, the only thing I have to report would be this. One of the witnesses for Mr. Beth could not appear on Monday. So the choice was, another day beyond Monday, or allow that person to testify by phone. This is a character witness. Joe and I decided by phone, but if you'd rather have it in person on another day, we can do that too. So I leave it up to you. It would be Monday by phone as a character witness, or if you want to actually see the person,
I'm okay.
To accommodate.
I'm fine by phone, but do the attorneys have any issue either way?
No, they do not.
Okay, okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That was the memo that we sent out that I just wanted to run it by you, because if you want the person here, we can accommodate. All right, we'll continue with that and expect it to be on Monday. So. Do we have a phone system set up?
We will. That's a speaker phone right there. We'll put it in the middle of the table and you'll be able to hear.
Okay.
And
they'll be able to dial in or dial out or however it's done.
Yep.
Okay. Why don't we go around the room and introduce ourselves, as we have youth and governance person here. And you're certainly free to take your mask off if you like. If you're more comfortable that way, that's up to you too. Anyway, I'm Terry Rose. Jeff?
Jeff Gens. Just say your last name. He already gave you the first.
He talks for me all the time.
Jeff, thank you.
Jeff Gens.
Ron Frederick, I represent the Central City.
Okay. Oh, we're doing that? I'm Jeff Wamble, 17th District.
Monica Juhas, your mentor, 18th District.
John Franco, 13th District.
Mary Fasci, I handle recording of minutes, and I'm an accountant here at the finance. I'm rather new too. I started about 3 months ago.
Barna Bench, the budget director.
And Patty Merrill, I'm the finance director.
Now we have a test. You have to remember all that.
I will. I'll ask all of you. I am John Cargill, one half of the unfortunately split dynamic duo that should be presiding here. And I've been told that I should get both of your two's numbers so that I can contact you if I need to.
We can do that.
Yep.
All right, so feel free to speak if you like, or ask questions, whatever. You're free to participate as anyone else on the committee. All right, we'll move on to the next item. Are there any committee reports, Jeff?
I did, just talking about the calendar for our other issue we have going on. I did free up Wednesday, where before I said I couldn't do next Wednesday. So if we can knock it out Monday and Wednesday, I don't know if Jeff, you said you had an issue Wednesday or?
Wednesday the 16th?
Yes.
No, that day was good for me.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's up to the rest of the committee. We can be done with it next week.
I'm good that day.
I think I'm good that day. I don't know.
What about Ed?
Yes, that's fine with me, too.
So if you want to notify the attorneys.
Except Ed's not here, too, so.
Huh?
Ed's not here.
Yeah.
Well, that's just, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're not taking a vote on it. I'm just throwing out there the fact that, right. You know, we could do it and be done with it Monday and Wednesday then.
Maybe you could call Ed. They could call Ed and ask him if that's okay.
Yep. I will let Joe Cardamone know this tomorrow, and he can.
Ed said he jumped on your boat up. You can do it anytime. So I think that'll be fine.
Okay.
I'm good at it.
That's what you said.
All right. Any other reports?
Oh, I would just like to state, Mr. Chairman, Carly Lois is our other youth in governance member, and she has a track meet tonight, so she did email and asked to be excused.
Sure.
But she'll be at our next meeting, and she's super excited to see everyone.
Good. All right, anyone else? Next item is the minutes of May 13th.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, and then we'll go on to item six, Sheriff's Department resolution on a grant award. Captain Miller.
Aye. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, how are you tonight?
Good. Outstanding. How are you?
Good. With me is my fiscal service manager, the Sheriff's Department's fiscal service manager, not mine. Angela Cabaz. She's She's just going to watch this one, and then she'll be here in front of you for the rest. So we're here in front of you for the resolution for the 2021 Wisconsin OJ Multi-Jurisdictional Drug Task Force Grant for Sea Dog Consortium. Can't say that word. State of Wisconsin Office of Justice Assistance has awarded $211,792 to the multi-county drug task force known as the Southeast Area Drug Operations Group. So in the past, Racine County has been the distributor of the grant, and Kenosha has taken that over. It was our turn. So basically what that does is it just puts us in charge of distributing the money for the entire Sea Dog group. So what that looks like for us is that our share for the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department or the county is $53,140. So we're just here in front of you just to ask that you accept.
We'll do approve.
Second.
Discussion?
I'm just curious, so you say it's your turn, is that we just, is that true, or
yeah, that's
is
true.
It every couple of years it just rotates?
You know how many?
Every 5 years it goes to a different county, so for the last 5 years it's been through Racine, we have it, this is year one.
So it doesn't matter who distributes, the amount is about the same, right?
Well, the amount is based on requests.
The total is usually the same from year to year. How it's divided is up to how their each county requests how much they want.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. Thanks.
All right, very good. Thank you. We'll circulate the resolution.
We got a vote.
Correct. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Youth and Governance.
Sorry, is that okay? Should I just raise my hand or?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or, interrupt or whatever.
I'm curious, so does it go directly to the Sheriff's Department within each of the counties, or where does it go?
So it depends on each county. They may have drug task force within their county, but the Sheriff's Departments are the accepting agencies for those monies.
Okay. Anything else? All right,
good. I have a quick question.
All right.
This is repeating for every year, right? Because every year this comes. Yeah. I mean,
as long as the grant
for 14
available.
Years, I think mm-hmm. it's been coming before me every year. So, mm-hmm. okay.
All right, thanks. Good. All right, we'll move on to the next resolution, the reappointment of Tom Radford.
Yes.
Who's going to do that? All right, good.
Youth and Governance didn't vote on the last vote.
Aye. Okay. Sorry.
So we mark you yes?
Yes.
All right.
Good Hello. Evening, yeah. Chairman Rose, Supervisors. Sir, welcome. I'm Clara Tappa, the Director of Human Resources for Kenosha County. So before you, we have the appointment that we're asking approval for of Dr. Thomas Radmer to the Civil Service Commission. Dr. Radmer has been serving on the commission. He'll be succeeding himself. He's attended 36 out of the last 36 meetings. He's currently chair and is very engaged member.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion?
Did you say 36 out of the last 36? That's pretty good attendance.
I'd almost say it was 100%.
That sounds like it to me.
That's why I'm a finance
committee. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Discussion, anyway? Maybe you can tell our youth and governance person what the Civil Service Commission is.
Sure. So the Civil Service Commission is guided by the Civil Service Ordinance that we have here, and it guides the Sheriff's Department to staffing and guidelines for the Sheriff's Department. So these are members of the community that serve on the Civil Service Commission. One of their most frequent duties is being part of the recruitment process for new deputies.
So they just oversee basically what laws are applying to the sheriff's force and what they're allowed to do.
So they have certain duties that are outlined in the ordinance, and that ordinance sets the guidelines for how we hire. State law as well, but how we hire deputies, and once they're hired, certain terms terms of discipline, separation, those kinds of things. And the commission acts under that ordinance. And again, one of their primary roles is to work through the recruitment of those deputies, so they personally interview all candidates for sheriff's deputies as a team.
All right, all those in favor of Dr. Edmer, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And you vote? Did you?
Oh, aye, yeah.
Okay, good, thank you. All right, very good, thank you. And we'll circulate the resolution. Second, and the next item is 8 and 9, similar special assignment wages.
So these are two memorandums. The committee, certainly those of you who have been on this committee for a while would be familiar with these. They've come before you for several years. The first of which is the special assignment wages for corrections and admissions release supervisors. So what this does is allow us to offer overtime shifts that are not taken voluntarily by our COs or our DSOs or admission release specialists. So rather than forcing them to take those overtime shifts, they can get offered to the supervisory staff, and then they would get the basically the overtime rate of pay if they work that shift, so that those people don't have to get forced.
So that covers 8 and 9, or just
well,
that's a little different.
The other one is about sworn sergeants and lieutenants who can take shifts for our special events. So if you think Country Thunder, Amazon Traffic Control, now I believe the Renaissance Fair. So the event organizer contracts with the county for that service, and they pay for it. So this does not come out, there's no taxpayer money here. The event organizers pay to have this service. But again, rather than forcing deputies, if they need extra folks to fill, the supervisory staff can volunteer to take those shifts, and then they get paid from that money that the county receives from the event organizer.
All right, is there a discussion on number 8?
Yeah.
Move to approve.
I do.
There a second?
Hold on, I have a question.
Yeah, I know. I'm not overly.
Second.
All right, yes, John.
Yeah, just a question. Has it been an issue that many deputies are, or let's put it this way, that many of these shifts are not being filled, and or many deputies don't like the idea that they're being forced to, and so there's a shortage, and then there's this need for maybe supervisors to step in to cover these shifts?
Right, so if we're talking about the sworn supervisors and mm-hmm. lieutenants, it allows us a bigger pool to draw from to provide staff for those events, because we of course have to cover our regular shifts and staffs. Mm-hmm. So this is in addition to that, and there's a limited number of deputies.
Are these new events too? You said Country Thunder, and you mentioned a couple other ones. Haven't those already been deputies being? It was just deputies who were working those overtime, or supervisors were working those overtime. And so there's more of these events coming up, and that's why maybe you need them. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we've been doing this for several years now. I think since they've been doing it for Country Thunder.
Right. So the only new event that is on the horizon is the Bristol Renaissance Fair.
Okay.
Last year they didn't have the fair due to COVID. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything.
Right.
They had Amazon Traffic Control was one.
Mm-hmm.
So Country Thunder is a largely robust operation that even with our supervisors, we have to push some of the shifts out to other agencies that assist us.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since we ordered deputies in for that. Like when I was a deputy, we did.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be filled regardless. They're going to be filled regardless, whether that is an outside agency, our supervisor, a deputy, in terms of just Country Thunder. Amazon, it is all dependent on how the contract is written with that vendor. Because sometimes it's written that if we don't have volunteers, then we can't offer the service to them.
But then that just means that when there's calls for service, like Renaissance Fair and Amazon, when there's traffic issues, that we're going to have to send our resources that are allocated to patrolling their districts, we're going to have to allocate them to those services that they're not paying for. This way, we're allowed to get dollar for dollar back. There is no cost to the county.
And because they're paying you, it doesn't conflict with statutory law that they supervisors can't get overtime? Is that how that works?
We're talking about number 8 now, right? Not number 9, correct?
Yes.
Well, we were kind of talking about it together.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, just want to be clear.
Yeah, 9 is I think,
the one
I just described.
Yeah.
Right.
And how does that, you understand my question?
Yes. So this is an overtime for these supervisors. That's why we call it special assignment pay, because this is outside of their normal duties. They're volunteering for this. It's an additional stipend of money that we give them for working these shifts.
Okay. I just brought that up because of what we've been discussing. Yeah,
I understand, yeah, and we vetted it through legal. As long as it's limited and it's outside
it
the
seems
normal duties.
It's temporary too, right?
Right.
Okay, we've done it before, right?
Jeff?
We actually had somebody tell us that's how what changes in their thing. So that this is their ability to go out and get somebody else to pay them overtime. The thing that I have a question on is number 8. So that's been a policy that the sheriff had implemented to try to cut down on the overtime number for years, correct? Or is that, what is, I remember discussing this, but for everybody, let's go over what the goal of this plan is.
For the corrections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're not the same. I mean, one talks about special events. The other is just allowing supervisors to come in and fill shifts.
Correct. You are correct. And we're going to have to pay that overtime anyway for those correction shifts. So it's not like, we're any different from the financial perspective. We will have to pay that overtime. This is really about not forcing those officers.
It's about morale. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm cool. Thank you.
Doesn't that part go with when we had all the federal prisoners too? Wasn't that the biggest problem with that other part? The federal prisoners, that caused a real for overtime.
Yes.
It's more sober.
Yeah, but it's not as if we don't have any overtime since.
No, I know that.
But
I
yes,
know that. Okay, so their sergeants and stuff that will be doing this?
If they volunteer, they can take them.
So what's the hourly rate?
We pay it at the highest hourly rate.
I'm a deputy.
Correctional.
Yeah, okay. Corrections officer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I guess I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask that last year and I forgot.
Did you send any?
Yeah, question on the corrections. Was it 2 years ago, 2 or 4 years ago, we went to 12-hour shifts? Mm-hmm. And the reason we went to the 12-hour shifts is because there was such an inordinate amount of overtime. It says on here, for special needs basis, since we've gone to 12-hour shifts, how often has there been a special needs basis? Because this isn't the first time this has come up, right?
No, it's not the first time. We've certainly had issues during the pandemic when we've had employees who are out for quarantine and isolation reasons ill.
We're down, 15, and don't quote me on that, but because we've had quite a few resignations in the last few weeks. So we're down personnel that we weren't down. And it's cyclical. When I took over in detentions, I came before this committee and judiciary and law, and Ms. Tepp and I implemented this idea to help with the morale. We were 26 FTEs down at that time. I mean, it's 15 now, but like we talked about back in the time of the 12-hour, we need less personnel. Well, 15 really kind of equals 26 when you change the schedules.
So I'm hearing that.
So we're just low on FTEs and we can't fill them.
But we are adding.
So I'm hearing that.
Yes. Yeah.
We've made some changes, but with the hopes that they would decrease the overtime, but they kind of really aren't panning out for whatever reason. Are there going to be other ideas? Because I know we were hiring part-time students from colleges, right?
Mm-hmm. We still have a CC, we still have casual corrections that we hire and utilize. It's
and it goes around. It goes for the state too. We're right. Burton too.
It would be very interesting to see how everything panned out with that change to the 12-hour schedules had we not gone into 2020. Sure. And everything that entailed with the pandemic and law enforcement. I'm not going to say the obvious, but it's been extraordinary.
Maybe we should start exploring wage increases. I know we've done wage increases lately, but if we're going to keep people, we need to pay them well. Oh, that's how you keep people, right? And that's how it is in state corrections too. I just got a $2.5 bump. That's great. How else can we do that? Is that something that we're going to have to do?
That can certainly be one factor, and it can be a major factor, but there are many elements as to why folks may be leaving law enforcement today, not just pay, unfortunately.
Jeff?
True.
So I just want to, in my mind, clarify that no matter how many opportunities there are for overtime, whether there's zero or where there's 100, what this is saying is we're just allowing the officers to step in and take what nobody wants.
Right.
So, this isn't even that they're coming in and cutting shifts or they're coming in and trying to get shifts to increase their pay or anything. They're saying, well, we're going to have to step in if we don't have them. And if we got it down to the fact that there was no extra shifts, they wouldn't be taking them. So this just allows the flexibility to do that.
Another question. With the taking this overtime that people don't want, just to be clear, if somebody's in overtime, like they took that overtime, and then a supervisor comes in and takes the overtime that people don't want, there's not movement of shifts, is there a post?
No, that came up during the initial implementation of this. There is no preferential post. Is that what you're talking about, for the overtime?
No, so like say I'm a lieutenant and you're working overtime, right, and I'm a supervisory role, I'm taking a shift that nobody, or I'm taking a post that nobody wants, I probably don't want it either, right? There's a reason why they don't want it, whether it be segregation or whatnot. When I'm taking that overtime, I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to switch with you because this is a garbage.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. Okay. They are not allowed to switch their posts. They're operating under the umbrella of they are a CO or a DSO. They are not. They don't have that supervisory right unless an emergency happens and they need to make a decision based on that role, but in the general scheme of things, they are operating as a correctional officer or a direct supervision officer, period.
During that shift?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Motion. I'll make a motion to approve 8 since we've discussed both of them.
Sure, is there a second?
Second. I'm a little confused. I don't work. this is, you were talking about the idea of forcing people. Are you allowed to force people to work overtime if there isn't anyone to do it? Is that in their contract, or how does that work?
Yeah, you can be ordered in to work a shift. So, and we like to avoid that. We don't
That's
like
bad
to do
morale,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means a 12-hour shift, right?
No, they're working 12, so we will only order them for 4.
Oh,
but
okay.
But they can be held for 4, which is 16-hour shifts.
Yeah, it's a long day.
It doesn't matter what, it's a long.
So,
go ahead.
Is it actually creating additional funds to incentivize it more, or is it more just a polite way of saying this is a thing you can do for work?
So if it's an overtime shift that has to be filled, we've got to pay it.
Yeah.
No matter who's filling it. There is an incentive by giving this pay to the supervisors who don't ordinarily get overtime or any additional pay for working longer. If they volunteer to take the shift as a CO or a DSO, as one of the folks that we generally report to them, then they get this extra pay. And that is an incentive for them to volunteer to take that shift, so that others don't have to be forced to work it.
Sure, okay, so it's the higher ups, the supervisors who are stepping into that role, and that's an incentive.
Right, if no one else wants it.
No further.
Further discussion, anyone? Seeing none, all those in favor of number 8, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, what about number 9?
Move to approve.
Second. Further discussion on that one? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. We're doing the audit of bills here.
You got it.
And reports of human resources, etc. Nothing?
Ashley, I'm sorry. I thought you had said there was something. We don't have a general fund report this month, but we will begin those next month for this year. Next month, we'll also bring forward the advisory body resolution.
You shouldn't sit across from him.
Probably not. And I wanted to inform the committee that on Monday, we did receive our first tranche of the American Rescue Plan's money. We received $16,467,618. So that is the first half.
Question, what's the bank interest giving you for it?
We actually invested the money in investments because this is a long-term plan. So we figured we would get the greatest return. At this point, no, we have gotten authority, we have gotten approval that you can invest the money to make money. What I don't know at this point is if that money can go to the general fund or if that money then just increases what can be spent on projects.
So what kind of investments?
We have investments with Dana Investments. There's a whole portfolio. The treasurer's report gives you those balances every month. They're state approved. They're very principal protected. There's a variety, U.S. Treasury, things like that, that are very safe. Okay.
No Bitcoin at the
no.
high.
No.
No. 60 million into Bitcoin. That's a smart move.
What do you expect to get on it? Do you have any idea?
I really don't know. I mean, even the investments aren't giving that great of a return at this point, but it's far better than...
Safe for right now.
It's safe. That's why it's not giving a great return. It's because
it's
safe.
1/10 of 1% on savings account.
Well, more, yes. More. The LGIP, I think, is paying 0.5%, so this is at least... probably more like a 1-2% return.
It's more than one.
You know, it's interesting to just to say quickly the inflation that's happening right now. Prices are jumping, everything's jumping, and there's inflation is in the wind. And the inflation, the interest rates is usually raised because of inflation, and they're not doing that.
No.
So people are stuck with this fixed wage, prices going up someplace 10-15%. And nobody's doing anything about it. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what, but I don't know how people can survive in this environment.
Yeah. Don't. Okay.
No, I'm serious. I mean, it's not a lot. It's a serious thing.
Yeah, it is.
I have another question.
Sure.
Not about this, but you know, it seems like years ago, we would talk about the tax.
Properties.
When do we go back to that?
They're kind of on hold. I really don't know what the plan is. We switched to the in-rem process. So the in-rem process means we take them through the courts. We talked about this
right,
back
right,
at that
I remember
time.
That.
And that was right before 2020. Oh, okay. So what happened in 2020? Two things happened in 2020. The first is the courts closed. Couldn't bring them through anyway. But then there was also a moratorium on foreclosures.
Right.
And so then there was a concern that this was actually a foreclosure, so we couldn't proceed with that. So now the courts are reopened and the foreclosure moratorium has been lifted. So now we're looking at potentially moving forward with them. But
are there a lot? Do we even know yet, or do we have to wait?
It's right up on the
it's
board.
Right in front of you.
No, I meant individual. I mean, that's the amount, but I meant...
No,
we would go through
the parcel numbers
759.
Are on the bottom. So there's 206 unique parcels that are eligible for tax deed. Then she goes through the things that there's an outlot
payments.
Or certain things that we can't really do anything with. So that brings that number to the 96 tax deed eligible parcels not exempted by the things above. So 96 are the ones that are potential to go through the courts and move forward.
Thank
with those.
You. What are parcels?
You're living in one.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
The pieces of land that houses are on, apartment buildings are on, businesses are on, those are parcels. and those are taxed for property taxes.
Yeah.
There are certain exceptions, but for the most part, one property tax is levied, and you will hear the word levy throughout the budget process.
It's just like raise, right?
We levy a tax, the county levies a tax, municipalities levy a tax, and that's levied on the property owner, the parcel owner. Yeah. If someone doesn't pay their property taxes, if they miss 1 year, we file a tax certificate on the property. After 3 years, it becomes eligible to be taken back by us. In the meantime, the treasurer has worked with them to set up payment plans and give them other alternatives to get their taxes paid. But if they do not, then after year three, we go through a process of taking those properties back.
Foreclosure, basically.
Then we, as a county, own them, and then we sell them. We auction them off.
And we would, this is kind of dumb to say, but we would prefer they pay their taxes.
We
right?
would.
Like that's more economically.
Absolutely.
We don't want to be in the real estate business.
No.
Yeah.
Or sell their house and pay off the back taxes and still come out with something.
Right. And the environment now is different than it was a few
Absolutely.
Years ago when
Absolutely.
we weren't even taking the properties because they were
underwater.
People were underwater, they didn't have a whole lot of recourse. But when the market started to come back and housing values started to go up, then we did start to move forward. We gave them options of, you know, you could get a reverse mortgage, take out a home equity loan and pay your property taxes now that your house is worth more than what you may owe on it.
You want to know what underwater is? Underwater is when your property is worth less than you, worth more than you owe. That means you're under. You could even if you sold it, you would be out. And there's a
or
lot of that.
But
now
we're
getting
wonder
what's happening.
It also could be that.
What happens when value is going up? Everybody's getting richer, but you got to live someplace.
Yeah, you owe
right.
more than what the value
so
of the house is.
So then we began to proceed, and we took many properties, sold them, others bought them. Many times investors will buy them, fix them up, and sell them at a profit. So
it's back on the tax rolls.
Then it's back on the tax rolls. We can get the property taxes that we levy.
Okay, so when we're talking about the idea of like tax deed eligible parcels, that's just properties that we're currently collecting taxes on?
It's properties
exactly
that,
right.
No, tax deed eligible means that we can take those. They are 3 years delinquent,
oh,
and we could take those properties.
Okay.
Like I said, there were two things that stopped that process of taking properties throughout COVID. One was the courts were not open, and we have to go through the courts for the sin and run process. And the second was there was a moratorium imposed on foreclosures, so we could not basically foreclose on the property and take it.
Okay, so we have basically at the end, it's the 96 tax deed eligible parcels. That means that like ones that don't have other circumstances going on.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yes, because you'll notice above that 66 are on active payment plans. So if they got behind, we have there's certain payment plan rules, but someone can get on a payment plan to pay off their delinquent taxes. And if they're on an active payment plan and they're making their payments on time, then we're not going to proceed with tax deed. But if they fall off that payment plan, they get one miss, it second miss, then we're gonna move them to the tax deed
eligible.
Just
a thought. Some of the people with the values going up as they are, a person who is behind that far would be smarter to take a loan, refinance their house, to get a little bit more money and pay off because we're charging them 18%,
yes,
1.5% a month. So if you own $100 in a month, you owe 15%.
Part of the problem though is they can't get a loan because they're behind for a reason. They have other issues, so they're not.
Yeah. But if your value, if you got the value, you can still. People shouldn't be losing houses in this environment. Not in town here anyway. That's just my thought.
All right. Any other reports or discussion?
We'll do it, Chair.
All right,
second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned and we'll see you Monday at 6:30.
This is a quick one.
I felt like we should be here 3 hours.
I was saying I was hoping to be here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The air conditioner
nice
went
meeting
out.
Nice meeting you.
Everybody's meeting.